Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? After a little short break, we are back and I'm super excited to say that our guest today is Shelby Neal. She is heading to the Syndicate Crown next week for her second individual semi-finals. She's been to the games three times, once as a rookie individual and twice as a team. And I'm so excited to chat with her about all the different things she's experienced in the different divisions of CrossFit. As always, don't forget to like, rate and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy! Shelby, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very well, thank you. It's so nice to chat. I know like we've been trying to schedule in for a while. You are officially like 10 days-ish out from semi-finals.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I've been practicing the workouts and variations of the workouts, so I definitely wish I was this coming week and not having to do another week of this, but it's nice that I get this time, so I'm enjoying the prep and getting ready to go.
Do you watch the other semi-finals? Do you take notes? Like, how do you go about being kind of the last semi-final? Because it's, I suppose, do you find it an advantage or a disadvantage?
Kind of both. I think every year you kind of just have to live with whatever you get, I guess. So last year I kind of thought it was a cool advantage to be the first people to test things out, because there's always going to be somebody who, you know, messes up. That could be you. And, you know, those are good opportunities to place higher, like kind of with people not knowing how to pace things out. And then on the third week, you kind of get the other advantage of like, I'm not going to be the one for sure that like totally bombs an event, hopefully, or totally like paces terribly. So you never know if it's going to be you or not, but I'm kind of happy this time around to get a lot of practice.
Yeah, it's been, they obviously released the workouts very early, maybe not as early as they intended. Do you find that beneficial for you?
I kind of wish they announced them the day they said they would, not 10 days early, but it's fine. I'm glad that, I guess, you know, in case other people knew what the workouts were, I'm glad that, you know, at least it was a little bit more fair if that was kind of floating around that we all had access. So it turns out fine. Like, I think the workouts are really fun and like I'm happy to practice them. I think if they were not fun, I would be more upset.
How, like, it's so interesting because one of the elements I think people really like about CrossFit is kind of the unknown, in that sometimes you don't find out these workouts like until the day before, sometimes even the day of. So does it change your kind of attitude towards the competition day, knowing the workout so far in advance?
Yeah, I think you definitely kind of have a full view of how the workout should go. And so you should expect less trip ups, you know, less mistakes happening to you and your competitors. Like, it's just far less likely to happen. Everyone kind of knows how the workout feels. They know like if they're overdoing it or underdoing it. And so I think I'm going in with like, I know generally what my scores are going to be, generally how every workout's going to feel. Whereas before it was like, you know, we didn't have time to really practice all of them. We only had time to practice like one, two or three of them, I think. And then it was just like touching everything. And it's like, all right, let's see how it's going to feel on game day. And that's kind of how the games feels, is like they're announcing workouts the day that the workouts that you're doing them. So you don't really know how it's going to go or how it's going to feel or what it's going to look like. So until you're out there. So it's very different than, I think, like a typical CrossFit style event.
Yeah, absolutely. They look fun. Like, have you watched any of like Europe and Asia? Did you pay much attention?
I watched day one and two, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch day three, which is like half of the competition, but
And do you kind of like, do you base yourself on other people or any, or kind of think, oh, they've done well in that one, so maybe I should do well in that one too? Like, is there any kind of comparative that you look at all when you're watching other competitors, like in other comps?
I think I'm like, I'm just kind of looking at like, I guess generally like the times of like the top, you know, first person, top five and top 10, and seeing kind of what that score is around, because I have like testing scores as well to compare to, which it's hard to compare because like the comp floor is set up different and, you know, transitioning and no reps can affect all that. But Generally, like looking at the scores that people are getting, and then also looking at the types of athletes that are winning and doing well in the events, and seeing if that, like, you know, makes you feel more confident, less confident. Sometimes, like most of the time, it's more confidence boosting. Like, oh, this is an event where like the row is more important than the handstand walk, or you know, whatever we're thinking about the events. Like this workout, like maybe the rope climbs aren't as important as we thought. You know, just generally watching the flow and seeing kind of where people are breaking down, what movements are kind of like hanging people up, and what movements are like the star, like principal point of the workout.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems obviously this season has been a little bit different in terms of quarterfinals, you know, changes, drama, shall we say?
Yeah, drama.
As an athlete going through that process, obviously you're going into semis, it hasn't super affected you, but going through that period of time where you're seeing all this outside noise and you're seeing other people's seasons changing, what's that like for you, like when you think, oh, because do you go into quarterfinals thinking, oh, I'm probably going to go to semis? Like, what was the whole quarterfinals experience like this year for you? Because it just, I'm so intrigued, because obviously from an outsider's perspective, we're confused. but for you who's in it, it must be really tough. So what was this year's kind of pre-semis experience like?
Yeah, I would say, as far as like the video stuff that was going on, I wasn't really like involved with any of that, thankfully, which, so I don't really know too much about that. But my experience was different this year in that I went to go visit Brent to do quarterfinals with him and Megan Sears, and it was really fun. Like, I really enjoyed it, but it was different, like not being in my home gym with like my normal environment, and like being able to go home and like not think about CrossFit. I definitely had like a different experience trying to like live in Brent Fikowski's house with him and like calm my nerves down. And so that was definitely like a learning experience, which was good, like going into semis to have that, because I switched to a new coach this year, and you know, there's a lot of little things that they want me to think about and like prepare mentally for the competition. And so this was like a good opportunity to like kind of put those things on paper, whereas before maybe I didn't really realize it was a place where I struggled or had a hard time. And so it's like, now we know going into semis that we need to kind of separate competition from just like relaxing, so that I can fuel properly, I can like relax properly and like regain energy for the next events to come. So that was kind of my big takeaway from quarterfinals, was like my experience is like tailoring the experience to like what my needs are is a little bit more like important for performance and such. Thankfully, we know we still qualified, still did well. And obviously the changing of the leaderboard kind of helped me, which stinks, but other people, you know, I feel bad for them in that experience. It sucks, because there's a lot of, you know, things that CrossFit could have done better to prevent a lot of those things, like showing a good rep versus no rep in a video, I think would have gone a long way, or even just having a floor plan and showing where to set up the camera. It's like so many things that, and then also the inconsistency across the board. It was just, you know, sad to see, because it could have been anybody. Like, my video got approved pretty quickly, and so I was feeling pretty confident, like, okay, I should be good, you know, moving forward. But you know, you just saw people like either waiting for their videos to just drop, and it's unfortunate and sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, isn't it? Because as you say, it really could have happened to anyone, because of inconsistencies and things. Were you kind of like, I suppose it's quite lucky your video got approved quickly, but was there any part of you that was almost like clinging on tender hooks, a bit like, oh my gosh, I need like official confirmation before I can.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, okay, I got 1 and 2 got approved like really fast. So it's like, okay, must be good there. And then it was like the clean and jerk one is like, no, I'm not going to get a no rep on a clean and jerk. So I'm like, I just need workout 3 to get through, and then I'll feel like 99% there, you know? And I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the mass, like everyone got workout 3 approved all at the same time. And I was like, okay, I'm sitting here all weekend, like, you know, like thinking through every scenario of like the sad post I'm going to have to make about,
like, start
about
writing
like my video.
Now.
Yeah. I'm like waiting for like, I'm like, you know, every horrible scenario is going through your head, and it's like, you know, this whole year you're thinking about top 10 of the games, and then you don't even get to go to semis. It stinks, you know.
Yeah. I'm quite intrigued. We'll come back to the training with Brent as well, because I'm intrigued to know what that experience was like. But something that I find really fascinating about CrossFit is that it's probably one of the only sports, bar maybe those that really aim for Olympics, that it's just one weekend of a year, right? Ultimately, like, that is the goal. And if something happens that maybe is out of your hands, or you're slightly injured or unwell on the wrong weekend of the year, that it can completely kind of switch up your season. Does that change the way, like, does that change your mindset and mentality towards it, that it is just one weekend? Or do you feel like you have the same mindset kind of all through the year?
I think I'm not sure how to answer it, honestly, because I think I prioritize the season a lot more than other athletes. Like my goal is always semis and the games, and I rarely do out of competition events. Like last year I had thought about I ended up doing road because it was like kind of last minute, and I was like, ah, what the heck, got invited, so I might as well, it's free to go. And it was a great time, but all the other out of season comps that I had thought about doing, I ended up just like, I was like, I don't have the energy and the you know, the bandwidth to do. And so like the kind of my whole season is, you know, this time of year. I kind of try to prioritize that by not doing those other competitions. Obviously, if like, you know, things don't pan out or something with the games or something, then I'd probably think about adding in those competitions and like extending my season a little bit. But at the same time, it's like I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm kind of thinking about, you know, the real season for right now, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And so quarterfinals training with one of the greatest, with Brent, does that it's an interesting thing, because you're of course out of your home environment, but does it make it a little bit more competition, adrenaline, all those things, being working out with like people on your level?
It was really cool to like see how he attacks workouts. You know, he is the professor for a reason, so I don't want to reveal all his tricks, and that's not the intent of my talking about him. So, but he definitely, you know, takes a lot of pride in what he does, and I like everything he sets the example, and that's basically, you know, what I learned from him. You know, just with like, you know, we weren't really worried about videoing because, you know, he has it down to a T. He has all those things, you know, written down, thought through. Like he's walking through how he's gonna video every single thing, and like he's thinking through every single movement, you know, very particularly how it's gonna look, how it's gonna feel. You know, it's definitely not like nothing is done without intention, and so I've been taking that into how I train and videoing myself a lot more and talking through things a lot more, and every little thing is important. And I think before I just didn't think about a lot of those things. Like, you know, I think even something like a clean and jerk, I think a lot of CrossFitters are comfortable with, but at the same time, it's like it could be better. You know, every little thing could be better. And I think before I thought, you know, I had a lot of things nailed down, and there's a lot of things that I could still improve, even on the most basic like CrossFit things. So I think that was my biggest takeaway from the weekend with him. That and the mental side, and like getting myself comfortable for semis, and then yeah.
Yeah, I
It
love
was
that. It sounds really fun, and I think it's probably, some people will see it as a shame that you maybe only get kind of two live in-person comps in the season. So I can imagine kind of going, it did it almost make it like your own little mini competition, like feel like a trip away, you're away from home, all these things as well?
We didn't do them like at the same exact time. So I like Frank, my boyfriend, was like, did you guys do them like together? I was like, no, we did it in his gym, like at his house, in this little like his little garage gym. Like there's not room for two of us to do them together, but the same, like, so one person would have to go first and then the next person. And like we're not the like the reason I actually like decided to work with him and David was because I like they didn't have any female games athletes, and so like I kind of liked the idea of like being the sole female games athlete and not having to compare myself to like a direct competitor all the time. And so it's nice having Brent, because it's like we're not really direct competitors. Like there's no reason for us not to help each other 100%, right? Because we're basically more like teammates at that, if that makes more sense, like coach teammate kind of relationship between us. And so like there at no point are we ever directly competing, and that helps.
Yeah,
However,
absolutely.
in quarterfinals, I definitely was like, oh, I really want to beat him in this one. But he got me on, like, I think he got me on all of them, so.
Oh,
But
next
he
year.
is like, I was comparing myself, and it's like, well, it is Brent Pekowski. Like, he's like been top five at the games for a couple of years, so I
I
was
love
like,
that.
I should be beating him, and it's like, no, he's pretty good.
And that is the competitor in you. And that I
Yeah.
love it when I speak to athletes, because there's always something, and there's definitely, I think anyone to be an elite athlete, you have to have like something
Yeah.
in you that not everyone has. And it's comments like that, and you're like, yeah, there it is. I love that.
Yeah.
And talking of like being an elite athlete and competing, you've of course been doing CrossFit for a long time. You were a teen athlete. How did you first find CrossFit?
Yeah, I first found CrossFit from my gymnastics coach when I was like around like level 8-ish. I was starting to become a level 8 gymnast and was just getting burnt out and tired and losing a lot of skills and losing a lot of motivation and watching like my teammates get better, and I was just kind of stagnant, I guess, not really improving. And then my coach was telling me about a workout she did with like 100 pull-ups in it, and she said she was so sore and she like couldn't feel her arms. And then she went to the hospital and got rhabdo and came back like a week later. And I was like, we were all like, where were you? And she said, she's telling us about rhabdomyolysis and how her muscles started eating itself or something. And I was like,
Oh
nice,
my
I want
gosh.
to try that. So
There's
she did
that
Murph.
tick again.
Yeah. There's she had done Murph. And I was like, how can you? Because I only knew about strict pull-ups. So I was like, how can you even do 100 pull-ups? Like, I feel like that would be hard for me. And I was like, pull-up machine when I was a gymnast. So that's what got me interested. And like, I went from gymnastics on Tuesday to like across the gym on Wednesday, and then just never went back to gymnastics.
I love that. I love there's two things about that, that something that's put her in hospital has made you go, oh, that sounds fun.
Oh, it must be sick.
Yeah. And interesting what you say about the kind of gymnastics burnout, because I've heard so many people talk about this, and it's such an interesting sport, of course, and it takes so much. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like with gymnastics, you're kind of thrown into a really intense level at quite a young age normally. And do you think that then
Yeah.
affects it as to when you do progress and you are kind of at this stage where you're a level 8 gymnast or whatever it may be, that because it's been so long and you're growing up and all these things, that it's kind of inevitable you're going to get this burnout?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of just a matter of time of like when, I feel like. Most people are gonna, I mean, most people burned out before I did, and I lasted a little bit longer, and then people slowly kind of burn out over time, and then eventually if they don't, burn out, then they'll burn out after their college years. So it's definitely just, it's a really intense sport, and like I spent 20 hours in the gym from like the age of 10, or probably even younger, like 8 to 14. I was just, it's like a part-time job of just every single day. I mean, it's like how much I train now, basically, which before it was all like, not that I didn't want to do it, but it was like my parents were bringing me there, versus me actually driving myself now. So it's a little more, I have a little more control over how much I train. But yeah, I mean, gymnastics is, it's a great sport, and I think it's helped me a lot, like find the drive and the like the what's the word I'm looking for, like the self motivation or the drive that I've gotten from gymnastics has definitely carried over to CrossFit. Otherwise, like, I wouldn't be putting in all these hours. I don't think it's something I can really get rid of. Unfortunately, it's part of my, or fortunately, it's part of my personality now to like be very intense and take everything very seriously. So,
Love that. So like stepping into a CrossFit gym for the first time, how so you must have been 14, 15?
I was like 14, yeah.
14. Were you intimidated? Were you just in awe? Like, because I think there's a interesting conversation that people have when they first walk into a CrossFit gym, and whether it be, oh, I'm not fit enough, or, oh my gosh, there were people doing muscle ups, or whatever it may be. But I cannot imagine walking in as a 14-year-old being like, oh, yeah, wow, what's this? What was your initial reaction? Are you stuck at a plateau and without a recent PB? Mergs has you covered. Bringing you the highest performance CrossFit and weightlifting equipment on the market, Mergs is your secret weapon to set a new best. Whether that's knee sleeves, grips, or tape, Mergs has everything you need to stay protected and performing. Head over to Mergs.com now and save 15% on all orders with the code WOD15.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, that's a good question. I want to say, like, I was pretty impressed by the women there. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, I can do that. And then I was like, oh my God, this is really hard, actually. Like, a 14-pound wall ball to a 9-foot target. I couldn't even do that when I was 14 years old. I weighed 115 pounds, and it was, like, really heavy, a 14-pound ball. So I remember using, like, an 8-pound ball or a 10-pound ball for, like, the first year I did CrossFit, and I would occasionally touch the 14. And now that's so crazy to think, because, like, 14's nothing for me now, and like we use a 20 all the time, so it's just interesting. And then I remember the barbell, I was like really intimidated by barbell stuff, and so that was really exciting to like learn about Olympic lifting. And I did focus on Olympic lifting for a couple years when I was younger, and then obviously the gymnastics was kind of what like got me into it, because you know everyone's like throwing these bar muscle ups, and they're like, try, you know, this is a bar muscle up. They show me, they're like, it's pretty hard, you know, it takes a while to learn. And I just like, oh yeah, it's like a kip, boom, like do it. And like, so I think that was like what got me the most like attracted to it, was just because people were like, you're really good at gymnastics. And it's like, this is just like really easy gymnastics, you know, obviously I can do this. But it like, it got me excited. And I was like, okay, I can like, I can spend the time and learn all this other stuff, like really good gymnastics, need to figure out Olympic lifting and the cardio side. And then like, I know what it feels like to be good at a third of this, so let's try to pick up the other pieces.
I love that. How quick from like your first session was the transition from going, oh, I'm gonna walk in and try this, to, oh, there's a CrossFit Games with the teen division, I'm gonna go? Like, how quick was
oh
that?
Yeah, I think I started in January, and then I did the open for the first time that year, which like was like March or something, or February. So it was like a couple weeks later, they're like, yeah, we do this thing called the open. And like, they kind of tricked me, because I was like, sure, I'll do it. Like, I didn't know what it was. Like, now in retrospect, I'd be like, no way. But yeah, they somehow got me to do the open. And I think it was the first year they had a teen division. It was like 14, 15 years old. And I did okay. Like, I think they took the top 20, and I was like 70 or something. Like, they're like, you were 70th in the world. Like, you just started this 4 weeks ago. You know, maybe you could make it next year. And so that's what like planted the seed. And then also watching the games that year, watching the athletes, and like really wanting to be like them on that sort of stage with the elites was really, really cool. So I think that year was like when the seed was planted. And then I also watched like all the games documentaries and started getting really into competing. And that was what like kind of started the seed for me. And then from there, it just started to grow and grow.
Yeah. And then it was 20, was it 2017? You went to your first games? 2016, 2017.
2016 and 17, I'd say.
You
yeah.
went as a teen. What, like, yeah. So obviously you're still at school, you're still a child. Like,
yeah,
you of course said you were training like 20 hours gymnastics. Did you kind of literally just flip your goals? Like, was it just like, oh, I've got 20 hours a week that my parents are taking me places, they just go from one gym to another, basically? Like, how did you prioritize doing that? And also, I'm always intrigued, how did you convince your parents? Like, were they really happy for you to do it? Because if I said to my mom at 15, 16, can you take me to Madison, Wisconsin to do a competition? She'd be like, no.
It's another good question. I think my parents have always been like very involved in sports and stuff with me. And like, my dad was really big into sports as well, so he was like, you know, he also started CrossFit with me, so he was like, he had kind of gotten a bite of the CrossFit bug and was obsessed as well. So it was like not super hard to convince him. And then my mom's quickly followed after of like wanting to watch me compete. So I forget the first part of your question, but
Yeah, just how did, like, did you literally just flip your gymnastics
oh yes,
training
yeah.
and use that 20 hours for CrossFit?
Yeah, so I left gymnastics going like, I'm not spending 20 hours doing anything. And like, this was too much. Like, I need to just like clear my schedule and do like something chill. And that lasted like maybe a week or two. And then I was like, okay, I can't do like an hour of CrossFit a day. Like, that's not enough. So then we started adding in barbell stuff. And so you're doing hour of CrossFit, an hour of barbell class.
Wow.
And then you're adding accessory. And it was like, and then it starts to be like, okay, I'm at the gym 3 hours now every day, just like I was at gymnastics, you know? So I think I just can't do nothing. So it somehow turned into that. And like the next month I was back kind of doing a lot of work, and I was learning fast and getting better really fast too, which was something like I hadn't done in a while in gymnastics. So I was like really enjoying it. Which I think was, it was good for me, like rebuild my confidence a little bit after gymnastics.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, I think my parents, when they got, once they got the look at like what the games was and how much like the gym was hyping up what the games was too, was like, which it was, it is that cool. But
yeah.
That definitely got them like interested in wanting to see me compete and wanting to see me do well in Olympic lifting. And I think once I was like, once they knew that I was going to be competing at like the national and international level, they were all on board. So
I love that. So cool. And
yeah,
something I love like learning about teen athletes is you obviously now, and I want to ask later on, because you are an engineer, you're so busy and have such an incredible life outside of CrossFit. So I'm assuming you did well at school. Correct me there if I'm wrong. But to be in this
I graduated.
Yeah. Did you ever find that doing so much CrossFit or extracurricular like ever affected your school? And then I'm gonna add on, do you feel like it ever affects your work now?
Yeah. I would say I've always been really like school oriented. So I feel like that was always my priority, and then CrossFit kind of came second to that. And then when I graduated, I had a couple like hard couple months of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life before I found work. And part of the reason I wanted to go this route with work was because it allowed for more flexibility. So I can work remote, I can work kind of in person if I want to. I have flexible hours. I mean, I have to work about like 8 hours a day, but if I need to, I can take a big break in the middle of the day, or I can start work at 6 a.m. or 10 a.m. Like, I can start kind of whenever I want, just as long as I kind of get my work done and work around the rest of the team. So it helps a lot. And then in school, I feel like I was always just, I kind of prioritized everything. Like, I just got it all done. I don't really know how, but I did.
But and, you made it.
if it required me to get up at like, if like the only time that I could get a workout in was like 5 a.m., then like, that's just what I would do. I would, if I only got 5 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep, that's just what I would do. And maybe it wasn't the best thing for me. And now I kind of prioritize health a little bit more to the in recovery to kind of get me to the level I want to be. But yeah, I think I've always just kind of been the person that like can't say no, especially I pick like one or two or three things and I'm like, this is it. I'm doing this only. And like, fun comes like very last.
I mean, but again, I think there's that's what it is in you, like an elite athlete, because so many people wouldn't do that, and that's why it's so impressive. So finishing your kind of teen journey, I know it's been like you've been to regionals and semis, but was it always as soon as you finished teen you were like, oh yeah, I'm gonna carry on, I'm gonna try and go individual?
Yeah, when I was in the 16-17 division, they started giving us the weights that were the same as the individual. So we started showing up on the leaderboard with them. And so I got a like idea of like where I was those 2 years, or at least the last year they did. And then I was like, okay, I'm kind of within range, but it's going to be hard. I ended up moving to a new gym, which is the gym I'm at now currently in 2018. and training with a couple games athletes there and regional level athletes and a new coach. And I think that really catapulted me into the regional level, which was really cool to qualify for my first time out of the teen division in at regionals. And it was a really cool experience. And I was glad that I was able to like go from teen right to indie kind of right when I wanted to. I mean, it doesn't always work out that way, but it ended up being a really cool experience. And then I got to stay at that level kind of since then.
Sure. And of course, like you've gained a lot of competition experience over the years, and then you had an incredible rookie season last year, which I want to ask so much about, because there were of course cuts in the 2023 CrossFit Games, and if I remember rightly, every cut you were kind of nearish the cut line. Say it sensitively. How, firstly, like going into your first games, did you have a goal, like straight off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first initial goal when you qualified out of semis last year?
I think the initial goal was just go and have fun, like enjoy it, enjoy the experience. One thing I was definitely like telling myself over and over was like, you'll never get this season back. You'll never be a rookie at the CrossFit Games like ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to enjoy that, because like, you know, if you get to go back to the games, like you're going to always compare yourself to the season before or the season before that. Like you can't just go and win the games and then people not say anything if you don't win the games again. And that's tough, like having those expectations on you. And so I was just trying to go and enjoy it and like let that relax me and let me have fun and do my best at the games. And I think it played into why I did so well for my rookie year. And then, yeah, making the cuts started to become the goal after we heard about the cuts to begin with. We're like, okay, let's try to make the first cut, you know, like I think we can be top 30. And then once you make top 30 and then you kind of like, and then I think we were like 30 or we were like 22 or something before the last event. It's like, okay, like let's try to make the last cut. You know, it just started to, we started to really like envision making the cuts every single day and like what it would be like to make it through all the events at the games and not get cut was definitely kind of like a sub goal. It wasn't really the main goal, but it was still like a really cool experience to have.
Mm-hmm. Does it affect how you go into a workout, like knowing that that potentially could be your last workout, but you really don't want it to be?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person. For me, I try not to think about it too much, because if I did, I think it would elevate my heart rate and cause me to overthink and second guess myself. I think there's a time and place for that, and like especially if it's close or you know you need to beat one singular person, like that might be helpful. I think in most cases for me it makes the most sense to just kind of, you know, go out and do your best. And that's kind of what I did on that clean and jerk event, well, the Olympic lifting event, was I just really went with like my heart and like what I knew I was confident in hitting and didn't try to think about anybody else. Just was like, what is the, like if you want to make it, like what is the most amount of weight you can lift to the exact pound? What are you 100% confident that you were going to make? And it has to be heavy. You know, like it can't just be like,
probably
you know, like you have something heavy, but you have to hit it. Like you need to have some confidence here. And so that's, you know, what I did. And that's why like my last lift on the clean jerk was like really emotional. It's kind of like probably the highest point, or not the highest, but one of the high points from the games. One of the biggest like moments for me was hitting that clean and jerk, and like my celebration was very dramatic. And so and the reason for that was because I was like, you know, this is the last lift of the games 2023. You know, you're not going to step out on the floor anymore. And then we got back and we're like, made the cut. And we're like, let's go. One more day.
Yeah. You're like, okay, we're going again. Is there ever an element of you, and I, again, like not an elite athlete here, so wouldn't know, but say you are giving it like absolutely everything you've got in that final workout because you think it's going to be your last workout. Is there any part of you that when you realize you're going in for day three, well, day five or whatever it was, that you're like, oh no, I've given it everything. I don't have anything left in me. Like, is there any part of you that's like, oh, whoops, went a bit too hard?
Yeah, I think at the games everyone's feeling that, like everyone's just beat up and tired, and sometimes, you think you're going to go into a workout with a amount of juice and you just end up not having the juice that you thought you'd had. Like I think that was the finale for me, the last workout. I thought, like this is a good workout for me, but I was just like, no matter what, I couldn't get the kick that I was used to, and it just wasn't as good of a finish as I think it would have been if it was like, earlier in the weekend. And that just goes to like, more experience at that level and like semis. Like, yeah, I've been to semis a lot of times, but the games is a very different beast and so many more events over and so many more days that it can take a toll on athletes. And so, yeah, I think it is hard to like maintain that juice a little bit throughout the weekend because you are going like 105% like 13 times in a row. So
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And 18th rookie year, pretty impressive. What, like, coming out of 2023, obviously, as you said, you prioritized the season. We saw you at Rogue, which was super cool. But going in 2024, what's the goal? Semis next week, so I assume the goal is games, but kind of further from that, what are the goals for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is obviously qualify to the games, and I would say the placing doesn't matter. Like, I'm trying to just enjoy semis a little bit and not worry about the placing too much, but it would be nice to place to place well. I think I'm eyeing at least better than last year. I'm eyeing kind of like top five, I think would be awesome. I think the workouts are really great for me. The East is really stacked, so it's going to be tough. And I think going into the games, assuming qualification happens, I'm kind of looking at like top 10, top 15, kind of eyeing that. But we'll see, just we have to kind of take it step by step and
I love that.
get there. But I think that's kind of like my subsidiary goal. But at the same time, I have so many other like more specific goals that I'm working on with my coach to kind of to get me to that overarching goal. And a lot of that's like execution and planning and thinking through the movements a little bit more with a fine-tooth comb. So
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, you of course have, as we said, like a career as well. And it's, I think people forget nowadays that people do both. But is it hard to kind of have CrossFit goals and career goals? Is it hard to prioritize everything?
I think that kind of goes back to what I was talking about at Brent's. Like, my main takeaway there was that I think for a while I thought like maybe it'd be cool to do CrossFit full time. Like, maybe I was approaching that level that I would feel financially stable enough to do CrossFit full time. And then kind of after that weekend, I was like, maybe I'm not meant to do that. And I think everyone's like recipe for success is different. And I think I attribute like a lot of my success to having a job. Like, yes, it makes things a lot harder, as in like it might eat up my sleep and eat up my food a little bit, like, and my recovery isn't as good because of work. But I think my mental space is a little bit better because at work I don't think about CrossFit at all, and at CrossFit I don't think about work at all. And like both of those parts of my days are, I enjoy both of them, so it's kind of like a break almost. It's like, oh, I'm sick of work, work day's over, it's like, yay, CrossFit. And then, oh, I'm sick of CrossFit, can't wait for work tomorrow, sort of thing. And
I
so I
love
think it
that.
helps my like mental space a little bit, and helps me separate and like enjoy CrossFit, because I have no pressure to like, no financial pressure at least, to do really well in CrossFit. Like, I can just go out and do my very best, and it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. I'm not gonna lose my house or whatever.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to let you go in just a second, but I have to ask you our quick fire question very quickly before I do, if you don't mind. So, firstly, your favorite lift?
Clean and jerk. Clean and jerk. Probably jerk if I have to pick one of those.
Specifically, that one at the games last year. Favorite overall CrossFit movement?
Probably handstand walk.
Nice. Your favorite benchmark wad?
None of them.
Nope, I don't want to do
They're all terrible.
And of course, you are a very established individual athlete, but if you were to go to the games on a dream team, who would be your teammates?
Brent, obviously. David Spur would be on there with me. And the girl, I don't know. Maybe Laura Horvath. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good team.
She's pretty fit. She's
yeah,
pretty fit.
I mean, you know, fittest in the world. No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Shelby, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us, and best of luck for the rest of the season, and can't wait to see you out there.
Awesome. Thanks so much.